Welcome in, Washed Walk-Ons fans, to another episode. We are here regardless of how bad this offense is. It doesn't matter if we win or lose. At least Kevin and I will show up. Drake, obviously, he's proved otherwise. But Kevin and I are here. Share in the sadness. We can still have a day. Let's have one. Let's go. Welcome into the Washed Up Walk-Ons podcast, and it's episode 358, and I'm not Drake, so I don't have cool intros, but I will start the show with a story. Now, for those who know me, they know I don't tell good stories. Not a good storyteller. I'm going to try and be good on this one here. I believe it's 2014. This is either 2014 or 2013. If you want to be good at telling stories, you should probably get the facts straight. So there's 0 for 1. But I'm pretty sure it's 2014. We are in Jacksonville, Florida. Kevin is there. And a bunch of my former teammates as well on that 2014 Hawk Slayer Bowl roster. For some reason, our football department, Ben, I don't know if it was Fed, I don't know whose decision it was, they put us in the middle of nowhere. It took an hour to get to the places we wanted to go to in the first 2 or 3 days of that bowl trip. But one of the places that we did eventually find was a Krispy Kreme. And this has no relevance to what the current state of Iowa football is. But Krispy Kremes make me happy. And before Kevin and I started this episode, our microphones, the inputs were off. Eventually, we got it right. He said, I sound crisp. I told him he sounded crisp. It reminded me of Krispy Kremes. And at this point, I think a box of 12 fresh Krispy Kremes is maybe the only thing that can make me happy watching what we watched yesterday. We're going to get to that in a second. For those watching this episode, Kevin's hair is a good example of kind of just Kevin in general right now. As he scratches his head, just a plain white tee. It's just a good representation of maybe Hawkeye Nation.
I look like a fucking bum today. Yes, just call it like it.
It's Sunday, right?
Yeah,
it's a day to rest. Kevin, and listeners. This might be short. Quite frankly, there isn't a whole lot of football to dissect. It was 9-6. Not a lot happened. And when it comes to the Iowa Hawkeyes, more of the same was what we saw out on the field. Good defense, pretty good special teams, and what is becoming, I think we can say it with certainty now, through 6 games. What even are we, Kevin? Are we 3-2? Or are we 3-3?
We are 3-3. We are okay. 500 ball club.
That's how disheveled I am. We are halfway through the season, and I don't know what the worst offensive output, yardage, and points-wise has ever been in college football history. There's probably a cutoff point somewhere in there. Like, you know, when they talk about the NFL and it's like, well, it was before the merger or after the merger. Let's call it since 2000, right? In the last 22 years of college football, I don't know what team scored the least amount of points and had the least amount of yards. But we have got to be close. Offensively, we have issues. As much as I love Iowa and I love the coaching staff, I can't so much say I love the players anymore, although I'm sure if I knew most of them, I would, just because of statistics. Loved most of the guys that we played with. All good people, giving an incredible effort on a daily basis to do incredibly tough things. The results are what they are. And I don't know. Kevin, where did you enjoy this 9-6 loss yesterday?
I was I was just at home in my living room watching it. And shouting profanities every now and then.
Yeah. Did you shout a bunch?
Yeah, you know.
Defense played pretty well though. That's usually what gets you going.
It doesn't matter how well the defense plays, man. I always find out who fucked up on that play, and that is a curse of mine. Is sometimes I just can't enjoy the whole of the good defensive play. That I have to be like, you know, we give up a three yard run. All right, that's okay, right? And I'm just looking at it like, that guy's got to get off the block, and that's a no game play, right?
That's a minus.
Yeah, it's a minus. Yeah, somebody's got to get a minus on almost every play, which is, I don't know. I think that's a little bit of Coach Parker in me, and always trying to strive for perfection. It makes watching as a fan though kind of horrible. I very rarely can just look at it and like, wow, we're just playing lights out every play. Now, yeah. When I see a good play, I think I can really appreciate it though. It's like, damn, that's a really good football play.
More than most people can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we obviously had a handful of those. Like, I think about Riley's just smack on that guy for a forced fumble. Kayvon came up and made a couple really nice plays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lucas Van Ness had some really nice plays. I mean, overall, we give 9 points, right? 9 points and 300 something yards. That's a good day of defense.
That's a great day of defense, Kevin.
Giving up 200 yards on the ground, though, is not our standard.
Individually, the running game statistic, no. But when you look at total yards and points, that is a great day defensively. I know it's hard for you to admit it, Kev, but it is.
Yeah, it is. You know, points-wise, we probably would have given up a couple more. They gave us a nice little gift of an interception there on the goal line.
Yeah. How bad of a decision was that, by the way?
Oh, my God. Guy wasn't even open.
Sitkowski was – I think he had the Iowa cover.
he might have had
Iowa money line.
He must have because guy was not even open. I think Riley was on him. Never saw Quinn coming, and Quinn, you know, Grant, kudos to him. Makes a nice play. Keeps sure. His foot in bounds there for the interception. Mm-hmm. That's just a bad, bad throw from a Big Ten quarterback. But, hey, we'll take it.
Yeah. I mean, we got turnovers, Kev. Three of them.
Three. One I would say is, you know, a really good play on our end that we forced with Riley's hit. You know.
Did you see Benson recover that? By the way, I want to talk about that for a second. Did you see how he went after that ball? Because this is something that irks me when people go after fumbles, right? People will fall on the ball and because of momentum, they will roll over top of it, or the guy that they're fighting with, the pushing and shoving of that guy will roll them off of the ball and it'll squirt free. Benson, before he went for the ball, boxed out the guy mid dive.
Yeah, that's what we're taught to do basically. You box out the guy with your body, and if he's reaching for it, you might snap the guy's arm off.
But who gives a fuck?
Happened to Drew Ott one time. But that's what you're taught to do: is cut off the defender offensive guy with your body, and you know. You don't want to jump right on top of it. Otherwise, it could squirt out underneath you.
I watched that back, and I was like, oh, my God, that is textbook. And then, of course, Riley making that play, the speed at which he made that read, oh, dear Lord.
I mean, yeah, literally almost made it too fast, and then it would have been an incomplete pass versus a fumble. Yeah. No, that was great reactivity, and just came with a violent hit, put his helmet right on the ball. I mean, it's just a great, great football play.
Textbook.
The sequence around it was depressing.
Mm. Yeah.
Like you talk about three turnovers, the first one being, you know, Torrey Taylor hits a moonshot of a punt.
Torrey actually struggled on a couple kicks last night.
Couple kicks, but this one was absolute moonshot and hits off right off the guy's face mask into Jack Campbell's hands. I'm like, oh shit, that's the biggest offensive play of the day right there. It was a 50-yard play.
50-yard pass.
We go three and out. We go backwards, punt. I think first play of their possession was that fumble, maybe second. We get the ball on the five, and we go backwards like another 5 or 6 yards and field goal. I'm like, that's kind of depressing.
What was really depressing was how simply put it was in a tweet, Iowa scoring drive, 3 plays, minus 16 yards. And that was a scoring drive for us. Yeah. I know. I can feel the angst in you. We're gonna talk about that in a second. I want to quickly highlight what Kevin just talked about in the Jack Campbell fumble recovery. I've mentioned a couple times, both on my radio spots and in this podcast, that a lot of people get hung up, and I even introed the podcast with it on that offensive yardage, total yardage number. That number is not going to be the same for the Iowa Hawkeyes. When the Iowa defense is getting turnovers, it's not going to be the same at importance or equal yard to yard importance that it is for other teams. And it's a perfect example in that punt. Like Kevin said, it's like that's our best offensive play of the day, right? It's essentially like we went for it on fourth down and completed a 50-yard pass. But because it was not an offensive play, it was a special teams play, those 50 yards don't show up in the stats, right? So
yeah, but I mean, you can't really, that's not a play that you can take credit for, right? That is the result of their returner being bad, not us doing anything good.
You're right, but let's assume that Iowa has we put the ball in the end zone, which evidently at this point is a monumental task. On that drive that we get it, where'd we get it? Like the 30, 35 yard line? He caught that or somewhere around there?
Like 35 to 40 yard line on their side of the 50. Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of teams have scoring drives of 70, 75 yards. If Iowa makes that a touchdown scoring drive and it's only 35 yards, that's an example. I know that it's really not that big of a deal. This is more of an explanation to those people who don't understand what I'm saying when we're talking about Torrey Taylor and the defense and the special teams taking away some of the potential yardage that the offense could gain over the course of a game. This is an example of that. But yeah, Kev, 3 turnovers. We won the turnover battle. Usually that's a good sign.
Yeah. You think in a very low scoring game that if you win the turnover battle that you probably won the game, right?
Especially if it's 3-0 at some point.
Yeah, especially if you get turnovers on, I just looked up the plus 35, the plus 5 yard line.
Jesus.
And then you get one in your own red zone to prevent a score. Like those are very impactful turnovers that should lead to, you know, keeping points off the board, which one did, obviously, and putting points on the board.
Yep.
We got 3 points off of those.
It was but 2 years ago when the walk-ons were searching for somebody to handle their merchandise. We found a company. We did our first merch run and it all went down the drain because we found somebody that wasn't like AdCraft, that didn't operate like they do at AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merchandise. And thank God we found the people at AdCraft, because ever since then, since we started working with this beautiful company from Clinton, everything we've done has been smooth, has been fast, has been quality, and they take care of a lot of headaches that the washed up walk-ons, our brand, would otherwise have to deal with, and we don't want to have to think about those things. Their customer service, their warehouse staff, their design team, the speed at which they get things done, their ability to handle sports teams and companies and brands like ours. They can do it all, and if you have custom merchandise and apparel needs, or you just have an idea for a t-shirt that might sell a little bit, hit up AdCraft, adcraftwebstores.com. I promise, the walk-on promise, that you are going to be satisfied with what they can do for you. AdCraft, custom apparel and merchandise.
But I mean, if you want to go into it, we can. You know, we have that punt. We get the ball on plus 35. We should have all the momentum in the world.
All of
and it. There is the most obvious linebacker blitz in the A-gap I've ever seen. And the guy is standing 3 feet from our quarterback, and we just decide not to block him. Mm. I'm not sure if that wasn't communicated. Like, hey, this guy's clearly coming. Probably should block that guy. I think Spencer can take a little ownership too. It's like, hey, maybe don't snap the ball right then. You know, maybe
seemed like he had a little bit of a jump on the cadence, right? So some of that
he
is
didn't though, man. He was a tad early, and
you're right.
There was time for Spencer to adjust his cadence from there. Maybe make an audible. Maybe like. Make sure that the offensive line can point out the guy blitzing,
which you usually see. Right.
Anyway. Yeah. And all of a sudden it's second and 16 and that drive's kind of fucked already.
This offense particularly. And it's no offense does well or wants to be behind schedule. Right. You don't want to lose yardage.
Some can overcome it more than others.
Some offenses are maybe built to dig themselves out of a hole better than others. We, in this instance, are the others. Iowa football in 2022 doesn't have a lot of plays that are for sure things when it's second and 16 or third and 11. We just don't.
So, I mean, typically, you're second and long, right? You want to get half of that back to make a third and manageable. Even at third and eight, we do not have a lot of good play calls because our offensive line struggles in pass protection at best would probably be the best way to put it. We do not pick up pressure well at all. And our quarterback doesn't often make good throws when under pressure, which he's got to be one of the more pressured quarterbacks in the Big Ten.
You'd have to think.
So it's just a recipe for disaster if we're off schedule.
It's not good.
And the lack of being able to establish a run game means we're off schedule a lot. So
it's an exponential sort of spiral.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kev, how hard is it for you to – because I'm going to be – I think it's easier for me because I have less – you know, we've talked about the emotions before and, how hard is it for you, even though you know, right, that, objectively, any way you look at it, this offense is bad. How hard is it for you? This isn't even like analysis. This is me to you because we're the only two in this position. Drake, he decided to,
Drake made the smart choice and say, I'm not going to put myself in a position where I have to say bad things about my offense.
You're right. You're right. And that's why I'm asking you right now, how hard is it for you to objectively be like, you know what, if this wasn't the Iowa Hawkeyes and this was just a nameless, faceless football team, and I looked at this output, this is fucking bad. It's hard to say that about your own coaching staff and your own. It's not easy for, I want the fans to understand that. But it is what it is. And I think you and I are well equipped to kind of, we're not going to hang on or mosey around subjects or say more than we need to. You guys listening at home know that this is not a good offense. It doesn't take Neil deGrasse Tyson to figure that out.
I don't think anyone in that building is under any illusions about how well they've performed this year either.
And I think there's a misconception around that. Some of the fans,
because the proper way, like we're taught the proper way to interview and answer questions to the media, because fuck the media and fuck everyone outside the building. They're going to have those very politically correct statements, if you want to call them like that.
They sound arrogant.
That's not the language being used inside the meeting rooms, inside the locker rooms. They know right. There's a problem that needs to be fixed.
It hurts me a little bit when people are off the rails. I get it right now. But some of the accusations of like Kirk is intentionally tanking the team. He's intentionally not putting Padilla in because at this point he knows Padilla is, but some of the like conspiracies behind this, if you guys think that KF is in any way walking out there on Saturdays and doing a single thing to stunt the potential of what this football team can do, you are completely in another universe. That's the nicest way I can put it to you. There's no reason he would do that. No, absolutely no reason. Any coach for that reason. Brian is not intentionally doing something, intentionally holding back play calls. They're not. It's super easy to be mad and oversimplify things in a tweet or a social media post. Solutions, of which social media is severely lacking thereof. Plenty of criticism, not a lot of solutions that are.
I don't have any solutions. Do you have any solutions?
That's the thing is I'm smart enough to know that I don't know the answers. I'm the last guy to come to. There are actually people on Twitter that are more qualified than me, still not qualified to give solutions to a Division I football team. But it's an interesting situation that we find ourselves in. And I echo the sentiment of the fan base right now that it hurts even more. If the defense and the special team sucked ass, guys, then we would just be Nevada, right? It wouldn't actually be as big of a deal. We'd just be like, yeah, we just suck as a football team. Like, we just got a lot to work on. What hurts is we see the potential on one side of the ball, call it two sides of the ball, and then you see the vast contrast on the other side. And I get it. That feels like we're wasting talent. We're wasting Phil Parker. We're wasting, you know. But I know those guys are trying.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And I did not watch the Brady Ross. Actually, we were talking about it with him in our chat earlier today. He put out a tweet that Spencer is in his Mount Rushmore of favorite Hawkeyes, not best Hawkeyes, but favorite Hawkeyes. And I believe it was him quote tweeting the video that one of the reporters put out of Spencer standing at the podium after the game answering questions. And I guess he teared up a little bit, or he was starting to.
I think he makes a great point there. It's like, say what you want about Spencer's plays. He's always there to say the right thing after the game and face the music. I don't think he's ever tossed any coach under the bus, any of his receivers, any of his offensive linemen. And you could argue he has, you know, if he were like an Aaron Rodgers type guy, he probably would have.
Yeah.
You can argue he's not getting a whole lot of help right now, but he's still up there facing the music and saying, it starts with me. So
Kev,
for him to be able to go up there and do that.
If Tyler Kluver was subjected to what Spencer has been subjected to week in, week out, Kev, I would have thrown you and Drake under the bus 6 weeks ago. Dude, I would have crumbled. I would not. I personally, my ego is
fuck it. I'm going to go get a box of Krispy Kreme donuts, and I'm just going to go and sit in my bed and play some Clash of Clans.
I'm not watching film. I might skip practice. I'm telling everybody that it was not my fault. I'm getting donuts, and I'm playing video games. That's it. I'm telling you, my ego is too big. I don't think people see it and they're like, oh, it's not that hard. You just go up there and say what the people want to hear you say. Do you know how hard it is as a 22-year-old kid to go up and take responsibility for not only the stuff that you've done poorly, but like Kevin said, he's taking responsibility for all of it, for the entire offense sometimes. He's got five guys that look like a wet paper bag in front of him. I mean, the play where the backer shot the gap and Spencer hardly had the ball in his hands before he was on the ground. We got some issues at offensive line.
Right. I mean, the pick wasn't even his fault. Ball got hit his hand got hit as he's throwing it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't put that on Spencer at all. That's on our left tackle getting beat.
And we have a young offensive line. We've been over this. I think last night they said Ellsbury was starting in place of, I forget, was it DeYoung maybe? And if Ellsbury was starting, we had five sophomores in the game. That's a young offensive line. I understand. However, we're six games into the season.
You're in Illinois. Time to fucking grow up.
Illinois doesn't give a fuck. In fact, they welcome the opportunity for you to put five young offensive linemen into the game. It just doesn't matter. And I know those guys are trying. They're working their balls off. I know they are. It doesn't mean the results are there, but their effort is there. At least most of the time. I don't see what they're capable of in practice. I don't know if we've seen what they're capable of at their best. But I got to imagine that those guys aren't walking out there thinking, you know what? Fuck Spencer. I'm letting this guy go. You know? That's not the mindset that they're taking out on the field either. So there's a lot of issues on this offense. All in all, I think that game, I haven't checked, but I think I'd have to imagine that game right there, six games through the year, we are back now as the worst offense in the country, 131.
And this game was going to be a really measuring stick for what the rest of the season was going to be, probably.
Yes.
We go into a bye next week. Probably a good time for it.
Yep.
And then we got Ohio State. And we're going to finish off with the rest of the teams in the West. We might be favorites versus two of the teams left on our schedule.
What do you think? Northwestern and maybe Nebraska?
Yeah. I'm going to say we're going to be dogs to everyone else.
What do you think about – we'll get to that in a second, maybe later this week. Again, I told you guys this is going to be a short podcast. We're 26 minutes in. We are going to go over our bets from this weekend, and I'll do a couple other yeah, we're back on the horse there. Never a doubt, by the way, the Washington Falcons boost. Easy money. I mean, come on.
That's so stupid.
fuck, that may be the best part of the weekend. But we had you mentioned the bye week. I like when the bye week sat at right in the middle, right, of either 6-7 or week 8, somewhere around there. Any earlier and you're like, we weren't really worn down yet. We could have used this later. Mm-hmm. Any later than that and you're like, shit, we could have used this earlier, you know? If there's a team left on the schedule that we could use 2 weeks to prepare for, it's probably Ohio State, right?
I think if I'm KF, this week of practice is what we'd call Iowa versus Iowa. We just got to focus on getting better. We're not worried about preparing for Ohio State until next week.
Yep.
We just have to get better at our fundamentals. I think our offensive line has to get more physical. So I think we got to do some blocks in 9-on-7.
Mm-hmm. Is what it is.
Yeah.
It hurts to go into a bye and chew on a loss. For sure.
Definitely does. Yep.
I know you, Kev, with the way you thought about things, 2 weeks after a loss like they just experienced yesterday, that would have made that wouldn't have been good for Kevin's mental health. I'll tell you this too. This one's not just, I understand that it's mainly an offensive issue right now, and that's about all that people are worried about. Special teams had a chance to make this a 9-9 ball game. And, you know, there's accountability taken there as well. I know that Drew Stevens is probably not feeling the best about his performance. You know, he had a 45 yarder that makes that a tie ball game. You know, who knows if it actually things work out the same way they did, but one for one, you look at 2020 hindsight, missed a field goal. And that hurts. I know as a specialist, that doesn't feel good. Even the long snapper and the holder, they're going to feel like they could have done something better in that as well. And I know, and you can hear it in Kevin's voice, that the defense is going to have 20 or 30 plays that they're looking at each where they're like, fuck, I could have been better there. They have 2 weeks to chew on that. And they're going to go into a we are going into a team who has a legitimate shot at a national championship. And they have ran over every single team they've played.
And just really unluckily for this team, the last time that we played them, we embarrassed them on a national scale.
To ruin their year.
So I'm sure that's going to be talked about in the Ohio State locker room a little bit this luckily, I don't think there's anyone left on that Ohio State team that played in that game, but no. There's a bunch of guys on the coaching staff that definitely are going to remember that we put up 55 points on them and our punter was running a fake punt 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter up 30.
I know the fans haven't forgotten, and I'm sure they're already talking about, oh, this is just the perfect softball pitch right down the middle to go fuck Iowa for 60 straight minutes and just let's hang 70.
They will attempt to put up 70 points.
Yeah. Hopefully the defense has something to say about that. Hopefully the offense can help out with that as well. I'm going to leave it there. There's a lot of work that needs to happen. I know that right now, I don't know if you saw Kev, you probably didn't because you're not into that shit. I ruffled some feathers this morning.
I saw your quote tweeting some stuff. I didn't really go into it a whole lot, but
I saw some tweets that crossed the line of fair criticism and went into the line of like
malice,
personal attacks, completely derailed adult emotional behavior, stuff that is just like, okay, you're worthless. Like if you're going to put that on the internet and you actually think that, either you're trying to be funny and the joke didn't hit, or you actually think that and you're just so you don't know how to control your emotions over a sport that you're watching 18 to 20 year old kids play. And so I tweeted out something along the lines of like, you know, today, some of the tweets I've seen really show how spoiled Hawk fans have been. Because criticism is, I don't even remember what I said. I ended up calling people whiny babies. Some people are being whiny babies.
Okay.
And those whiny babies, those who don't like to read the full tweets or just see buzzwords, they really, they interpreted that as I'm sticking up for Brian Ferentz. And I think that what's currently happening with the offense is okay. So I got into conversations with over 100 people on Twitter today, just something that you would absolutely hate and never do. I subjected myself to. Then people tried to suck me back into the Emir Smith Marsette conversation because he lost the people were tagging me in that and saying, nope, seems like Kluver was right. And I just said, you know what? I'm not touching this because Emir had an unfortunate turnover at the end of a game today. Didn't lose the game for the Bears, but you know, it's just
hey, Emir is playing the game of football for a living, so Emir is winning right now.
Yeah, he's winning over me. Okay. Do you have any other thoughts on that game or anything before we move into betting and then we wrap this up?
Oh man, I don't know. It is depressing to see. I'm not gonna go into it.
Okay. I'm not gonna go to. I'll bring it up on Wednesday.
I don't think I want to go into it on Wednesday either.
I'm gonna bring it up anyway.
You see if you get an answer.
Okay. You know where I'm going, right?
Probably. Maybe, I don't know.
Okay. You're not gonna like it. Your response, regardless of if you know where I'm going or not, you're still not gonna give me an answer, probably. So I'll try to squeeze something out of you. All right. Let's get some of this out of the way. The Count the Kicks, which is a life-saving third trimester intervention to count your baby's movements so that you can help prevent stillborn. The Count the Kicks special teams play of the week is none other than Jack Campbell's in-air fumble recovery off a guy's face mask, if you guys are wondering. Kind of reminds me of Josie in the Big Ten Championship game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a cool pick and actually a huge moment in the game. Kevin, this weekend, apologies, by the way, our social media intern is a fuck up. totally screwed up the graphic. It said Ole Miss +7, which would have been an amazing line to have.
Which I promise you, I would have put my mortgage on.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Which I would have been really concerned about in the first half there, actually. I
don't know
if anyone followed the game. Ole Miss was losing this game at halftime.
But you had Ole Miss -17.
That is correct.
We both had Tennessee -3. And then you had that Iowa cover, which fucking hit. And I had Michigan -21.5, which misses by the hook. That hurts.
The dreaded hook, man. It'll either be your best friend or your worst enemy.
I felt good about the pick, though. I really did. It was close. You can talk about your picks. Ole Miss does cover.
Yeah, Ole Miss losing at halftime at Vanderbilt. They end up having a huge second half. They win by 25 or something like that to cover the 17. Yep. We both had Tennessee -3 at LSU, and they go up in there and they kind of wreck shop. Dude, they've got a good offense down there.
They are, I believe, game day this week against Bama.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game.
Going to be a damn good game because Bama struggled with A&M.
Bama's showing, well, I mean, obviously Bryce Young is out. I don't know how much longer he's going to be out for, but they are showing signs of being human. Mm-hmm. They are not an unbeatable football team.
Correct. Tennessee won by a lot. They stomped the shit.
I think they won by like 30. Yeah.
Brian Kelly, I love how he stepped to the podium. He's like, all right, that is not how us inside the program saw that one going, and not what we expected. Expected to play much better than that. And I was like, oh, really? People want to talk about, I get it. Iowa's 3-3. People want to talk about expectation versus reality. LSU had one of the best college football teams of all time. Two years ago. Joe Burrow. And now
Jordan they're getting Jefferson or
Justin Jefferson.
Justin Jefferson,
who had 12 catches today for the Viking. And now they are getting beat by 30 by a team in their comp. I mean, it's just there's parity. It's hard to win football games. It's hard to be good.
Yeah, a lot of other people are trying to be good too.
Yeah, absolutely. So Kevin, you go 3-0.
Woo.
And that improves the Kev dog to a distinguishable 10-5 on the year.
Yeah, just one bad weekend away from being a really good record.
One Adam Levine meme away from from having an impressive picks on the year. I had the Tennessee pick that hit Texas, Oklahoma.
Jeez.
My goodness.
Brett Venables, you got some problems down there. And
dude,
Oklahoma at? Where's Norman?
Dude, 49-0?
Brother, that's got to be one of the worst beatings in the Red River rivalry of all time.
Might be the worst. And Oklahoma was...
like, even when Texas was not good for, like, the years in the past decade or so, and Oklahoma was, like, competing for national championships, I don't think they ever beat them by 50.
I'm pretty sure they didn't.
Shut them out. Jesus Christ, man. That is a bloodbath. And I'm sure the Texas fandom reveled in that one.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure, who knows, because everybody's within their own echo chamber, but I bet fucking Oklahoma's calling for Venable's head. You know, I bet.
What, six games in, you think?
Probably. They've lost three games in a row by absolute fucking ass whoopings.
Not ass whoopings. Kansas State beat them by 7, no?
Okay, maybe they slipped out of that one, but then TCU whipped up on them.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, this is a legitimate mollywhopping.
Yeah, bad. It's bad. I think they lost like a lot of guys to the transfer portal after Lincoln Riley left, though. So yeah. I think head coach down there is a major rebuilding project he's got to do.
Lincoln, when he moved out,
Lincoln, like, if you want to talk about someone fucking over a program, I don't know if a program's ever been more fucked over by a head coach than that. And I think that might be more destructive of head coaches leaving now than ever before with the transfer portal and how quickly guys are going to be like, okay, I'm just going to go play right there next year and make money over there.
Yep. Dude, he essentially just rented a charter bus and said, hey, anybody, any of my guys, you want to hop on?
He got to hand pick which guys he wanted to come with him. Caleb Williams, you're cool, man. You can sit shotgun.
And now look at them, huh? 6-0.
And they're whooping up on some people too. Tell you what, man, that USC UCLA game, future Big Ten matchup, by the way.
By the way,
could be a good game this year.
Both 6-0.
Yeah.
UCLA took care of Utah.
They beat up on the Utes. Yeah. I think they beat them pretty good.
Did we talk about before how if we could play for anybody else other than Iowa, and we were all like, yeah, I'd choose Utah. Like, Utah would be the place. I think me and Drake both said Utah. You might have said somebody else, but...
No, hell no, I'm not playing Utah.
You don't want to go play for Utah, bro?
Brother, you can't, like, drink there or stuff. Like, you don't, just like a dry state or something like that.
I mean, I'd be fine.
Yeah, you'd be fine. Drake would probably be fine, too. Yeah, that's probably why you guys want to go there.
If you could play for a different team other than Iowa, who would it have been? Power 5. Yeah.
It'd probably be a Big Ten school, but I don't think I can say that.
I mean, I don't think
I'm going to go outside the Big Ten.
Okay, we'll go outside the Big Ten. Power 5. Who would you choose? There's no way it's a Big 12 team because you'd puke every weekend with that defense.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Although, if it had to be a Big 12 team, it'd probably be Kansas State.
They're kind of doing their thing.
Yeah.
By the way, Iowa State. 10-9.
Yeah, I mean, they got issues over there too.
I mean, they're fine. I understand that they beat us, but the state of Iowa is in a bad, bad place right now.
Mm-hmm. How's the Panthers doing up there, you and I?
That's a good question. I actually saw them on TV yesterday and I just skipped by the game. You and I, Panther football. Oh no. Oh no, not them too.
Oh no. Oh, Farley?
They lost by 2 yesterday.
Oh, no.
To Illinois State, 23-21.
All right. Western Iowa. What do we got, baby? Come on. Community College national champs, right? Or is
they
that
have Central to be doing Iowa? Good,
who's,
huh?
Who's the better one?
Iowa Western.
Iowa Western?
Iowa Western football.
Come on. Give me something, Iowa Western.
How are we doing right now? They've been killing people. Oh, yeah. 6-0, baby. Let's go.
All right. This is now an Iowa Western podcast.
We are now Iowa Western Reavers. This is the Washed Up Reavers podcast. 6-0. Let me give you some final scores from this year.
Now, just BAM, Beavers by a million.
No, not Beavers. Reavers are.
Oh, Reavers.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know what they are. It's like this pirate looking thing. They opened up against Dodge City Community College. 46-0. Garden City Community College, 43-13. Highland Community College, 24-7. Ellsworth, 52-0. Played a close one against Independence Community College, 17-8. And then they won yesterday against Snow College, which I once went to Snow College for a basketball camp when I was in fifth grade. They beat Snow College 26-0. So they are holding it down.
I mean, I think I'd actually like to go see a community college football game sometime, because there is a vast disparity of type of people you got there. You either got like D1 caliber guys that
you've got some dudes
need to go pass a couple classes.
Yeah.
Or you got, you know, apologies to anyone out there that played community college football, but
you got some dummies
in high school.
You got some people
playing the game, so I respect it.
We forgot to mention, we brushed over the game day game of the week that finished at a cool 69 points, which hit the over of 68.5.
What was it, 13 at halftime? It was 10-3.
They both scored 3 touchdowns in the third quarter alone.
Yeah, I know. I send that tweet and like a half hour later, they're like ready to hit it. I'm like, what the?
It's funny because I was joking when I responded to you and I was like, just let them heat up, Kev. They'll get there. And they got there. Let's go. Oh,
we need to let them heat up tweet for our offense.
So, yeah, for real.
And then, yeah. So what you had, Oklahoma getting trounced.
I had Texas -7.
Tennessee.
I had Tennessee -3. And then I had Michigan at -21.5. So I went 2-1.
Lose by the hook. That's always tough.
That is tough. Otherwise, you and I would have put together a 6-0 week, technically 5-0. But Drake, I sent him a question asking for picks. He said, tell them that I'm having trouble paying the mortgage in my new house because of how I've done so far this year. And so I put the 1-800-BETS-OFF logo for all three of his picks.
That was pretty funny.
Which did hit. Multiple of you responded to that with like crying faces or said that you actually laughed out loud when you saw it. So I'm glad that was a success in a social media post. That's all I've got. There'll be more to talk about on Wednesday, I guess. I mean,
we don't have a preview, so we might have to get a guest on here and just shoot some shit on Wednesday.
We might have to, yeah. Because otherwise that just turns into a conversation of like, hey, let's just talk about all the negative shit.
Might have to get Drake on, do a top five just to fill some space.
We could probably swing him. There's no game to talk about, so we could probably swing Drake this week.
All right.
Well, we're looking up. Everybody who loves Drake, he'll be back on Thursday. I'm going to all.
Everyone who loves the top five segment, we'll have something. We'll have something.
Yeah, maybe we'll do a couple because we need something to fill space. But thanks for joining us. We are 3-3 podcast, just like the team is 3-3. There's a lot of work to do before we step into the horseshoe and take on the Buckeyes. Unfortunately, Kevin and I, any of the work that we're doing doesn't. It's not going to be good for
you. Did they announce the game time for that one yet?
Iowa versus Ohio State football. Looks like that is TBD still.
I just hope that they don't make it a night game.
Please don't put it at 6 p.m. That's all I ask. Because
we are hoping for an 11 a.m. kickoff, so.
Yeah. That's all we can hope for right now. That's it for Kevin and myself. We are the Washed Up Walk-Ons. Drake is a frosted flake. Drake is a flake, and it's Kevin and I until this offseason. Drake still has comments about the team. He puts them in the private text messages between us and our friends. They are not safe for work, really. And he'll be back eventually, but he will be back on Thursday. We'll have some kind of entertaining content for you. As always, we appreciate you for being here. If you want more of us, and if you want a lot more of Drake than you're getting right now, you can go to patreon.com/washedupwalkons. If any extra content and merch discounts and all that good stuff donating to the kids interests you. Otherwise, go find a walk in the sun, a video game, read a good book, eat a box of 12 Krispy Kremes, something to make you happy. Don't wallow in the misery. We'll see you then. Peace.